all of that. I'm going to go ahead and, oh, our meeting tonight is, drum roll. thank you. A generous application of compassion is more therapeutic to a suffering addict than the free application of judgment. And I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Marvin M. Take it away.
Thanks, Christina.
I had to call Marvin.
Hi, Marvin.
From Virginia. And this is something I don't really like to do, but I'm very nervous. And I tell y'all how I ended up here. I don't plan on speaking, and a friend of mine called Noel talked to Tony, and here I am. And like, I didn't pray for this, not for nobody to be in here right now, but it happened. You know, and they asked me to share on the third tradition. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using, which that is in the third tradition, which she just read. And I'm not a book thumper, but I can share my experience with you with the third tradition. You know, the only requirement is a desire to stop using. With that, wow. And it talk about judgment, judging others. And in the book it said we cannot judge anybody else's desire. And I can remember when I first came around, if y'all noticed, I carry a cane, I'm visually impaired. And when I first started the meetings, my first meeting, I didn't carry my cane because I was scared to carry my cane at the time because of, I done a lot of fighting. And I was scared somebody gonna see me with the cane and bust me upside the head because they always thought I had money or something I don't have. And so I wouldn't carry my cane. So I goes into this meeting, I stumbled down the steps, and the first thing they said was, oh, he drunk, he just come in and get a paper sign. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's how my first NA meeting started. But saying that, my clean date is June 16, 2002. Mm. I just celebrated 17 years
nice.
This year.
Mm. Congrats.
You know, and so they was wrong, of course. I didn't have a paper to get signed. I come in to knock out some knowledge to get clean. I got tired of living the way I was living. So with that, my experience with my desire was, you know, early on when I first started, they told me to get with the winner. So, you know, make 90 meets in 90 days. You know, so what I did, I went to over 90 meets in 90 days. I done over 400 meets my first year. My desire to stay clean was very strong, you know, because I did what was suggested to me soon I got here, you know what I mean? I got a home group, I got a sponsor, I done 90, and I tried to stick with the winners. And at that time, it was a bunch of newcomers in our meeting, and like, it was, you know, didn't nobody have like, the group that I hung out with didn't have like 6 months clean, but a lot of us made it for years with that. So doing 90 meetings in 90 days, I didn't care what was going on in my life. At that time, when it was time for me, I showed up that first year. I got into a relationship early on in recovery, you know, and it's not suggested in here. And one night, I needed to go to a meeting. They said they weren't going. It was a snowstorm going on, and I'm visually impaired. I walked to a meeting. You know, I put my boots on and I went to a meeting. That's what my desire to stay clean, you know. And so that's where I'm at, you know, and now I continue to do the same thing. Anywhere I go, I move a few places. Anywhere I go, I join a home group and I go to meetings. And so with that being said, the judgment of others, I have a hard time with that. I cannot judge nobody else's desire. So saying that, when I was like 6 to 9 months clean, we had a young lady in the program. She had been in like 8 or 9 treatments, in and out of detox. And she just, you know, I had compassion for this woman, you know. My motives in the right place. I never said anything out of my way to this woman or anything. And she was a nice looking girl, but I wanted to help her the best I could. She went to detox. I went and got her out of detox, bought a home. I asked her family, was it okay before I done? I don't drive, y'all. I got somebody, another addict, go with me to do this. And I brought her back home, and she said to me, how can I pay you? I said, the only way you can pay me and show up in the room to knock out some knowns. Okay? 2 weeks later, this woman called me, and she wanted to go to detox again. I got another friend to pick me up. We took her to detox. This woman stayed clean for over 9 years. You know, that's the compassion and knowing that I cannot imagine no one else's desire. So I had to reach out to this woman because she claimed that didn't know other women like her because of this and that. But you know what? My mother was in the right place for this woman. And I'm grateful to be able to be in that place today. You know, and talk about compassion. Compassion for newcomers. You know, the other spots, especially my home group, I don't like everybody's behavior. And they tell me not to judge. But, it's, you know, after somebody's been around a little while, you think, well, they should do this way and do this that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's not good judgment. But I know what's right and wrong with the traditions. You know, I've been around for a while. But I still cannot measure this person's desire. So I got to love them anyway. You know, I got to be there for them anyway. You know, and so that's what I do. You know, I went to a meeting last week and I talked to this lady and wow, it was crazy. And she blabbered all the meeting and I just looked at her and said, look, I shared behind her. And I said, I love you anyway. I don't care what you think about me. And I didn't say it in that tone. I said a few curse words and I choose not to say that today. I don't know where I'm at right now. I'm so nervous with 5 people in the room. I love it. And I didn't pray for this. I said it one time. I drew a blank. But you know, so y'all know some vision impaired. And when I got here, they told me to ask for help, right? And so that's what I did. You know, I asked for help. And by asking for help was one of the hardest things for me to do. But with that's how I attend so many meetings, you know. I share my home group. If you want to get to a meeting, get to my back pocket. I don't drive nothing. You know, I got clean. I was blind when I got clean, so you know what I mean? I never been able to drive and recover. But I guarantee you, I have brought more people to meetings than just about people that took me to meet. You know, and I see why ain't nobody show up. But, whew. I don't know what's going on here today. I had all these good ideas before I got here. You know, I'm not a book dumper. I had my wife to read both of the books of How and Why, and then the basic text. And, you know, I called different members of Knockouts Knowledge and asked all these questions so I could come up here and share a good message in Houston, Texas. So, you know what I mean? And then I get up here and I draw a blank. I'm so embarrassed. But, the message, man, is that, you know, any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new world of life. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at, you know what I mean? You know, the hope is like, you know, for me being vision impaired, if I can do it, I know anyone else can do it, you know? Since I've been here, this program has gave me so many gifts. You know, I've graduated, went back to school, got my GED since I've been clean. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to college and I got a degree with high honors and I hated school. You know, that's the gift of this program. You know, this program didn't only give me the desire to just stay clean, it gave me the desire to better my life. And I'm still working on that today. And I don't know what's going on with me. You know, my first sponsor, I have a sponsor for 15 years, and they talked about the compassion and love of this program. When I first got here, this guy, I got in some trouble and didn't know it. I was supposed to have been in court and didn't show up, and this guy put his house up for me, right? Mm-hmm. So that, at the early on, I thought I owe him something. And today our relationship is not where I would like for it to be, and that's why I'm sharing about it. But the thing is that he ended up in a nursing home. And 2 to 3 times a week, rain, sleet, snow, whatever, I showed up and I gave this man a bath. You know, and that's the compassion and love that I had for this program and my first sponsor. You know, And then I end up catching a resentment behind it because he thought that I owed him this, you know? Mm. And I don't, you know, they tell me, you know, that you don't owe him anything. You know, I didn't hire him, so I can't fire him and all that good stuff. But the deal is, you know, I love this man enough because he treated me like a dad that I never had. This man is totally opposite of me. I like to be the clean, nice looking guy and all this stuff. And he like grubbing, don't want to take a bath type of guy. And so, you know, that's why I done what I did for him. You know, I was like embarrassed to take him somewhere and people talk about it, you know? So that's why I would do that, you know? And he totally opposite. Of course, I'm this color and he another color, you know? And it's weird to be able to do something like that, you know? And the day he got dementia, and I hate to see him that way. One day he might know me, the next day he don't. And I kind of stay away. And it hurts me, you know? And I had to move on, you know? Right now today, I still haven't told him that he's not my sponsor. I got a new sponsor and I'm working the steps, you know? And but at all the time, I still got a lot of him in me. You know, this guy was a book thumper, and he met my buddy Noel in New York, and me and him traveled from convention to convention, you know. And he also visually impaired pretty much now, and he was for a while, and he kept on driving like I did, like a fool. And me and him went to Florida to a convention. You know, this is the first time being on the West Coast, but I'd have been all the way from Florida to Vermont. That's my desire to stay clean to conventions, you know. And that's what I do, man. I try to follow the winners and I hang out with the guys in recovery that I see staying clean, you know. And the more I hang out with those guys, the stronger my desire I get to stay clean, you know. And I don't know, it started late and I ain't shared for 10 minutes.
Mm, yeah, it's, you don't have to, you do what you want.
Okay, you know. I don't know. I'm drawing blanks. I don't know what happened. I was pushed into this, but I want to leave y'all with this right here. You know what I mean? I see more blind clean than what I did when I had eyesight with you. Mm. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Marvin. Let's have a round. Thank you, Marvin, for sharing your experience, strength, and help. You good. 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 All right. And I'm going to introduce our next speaker. Drum roll, please. Brian, this is the funnest meeting ever.
I'm an addict named Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, family. Can we just take a second to give the convention committee a round of applause? Because they have once again... They've once again put on a tremendous effort to bring the Houston area and all other visiting areas another fine convention. The hotel is always very nice to us, and typically we're pretty nice to them too. So, I got clean on January 11th of 2014. Been clean a little over 5 years and 8 months. And tonight, I was asked by the committee months and months ago if I'd be willing to share. The way they put it, they were like, "Are you willing to be of service?" And it's like, "Well, damn, you know, since you asked me like that, you know, what am I supposed to say? No." So I, of course, said yes, and it was just two of the committee members were at Starbucks, and I just like ran in there to get a cup of coffee before the meeting, and they asked me, I said yes, and this was months ago, as I mentioned, and I could have sworn I slipped through the cracks, you know, because like I didn't hear about it for a while, man, it was like months, you know, I was like, man, maybe they forgot, you know, and sure enough, man, you tell somebody you're going to be of service in NA, you're not slipping through the cracks, they're going to come after you, so I'm grateful to have been asked. I've never done a convention panel or workshop before, so I was excited about it. This particular topic I was texted the topic. And after I finished reading it, it took like 5 minutes, I immediately thought, you know, maybe there's something else they could give me. You know, it just doesn't seem like it would fit, right? The topic I'm talking about is generous application of compassion is more therapeutic to the suffering addict than the free application of judgment. Mm-hmm. As I continued to read that, I was just more and more taken aback by just how plugged in I am to the meaning of that topic, you know. And you know, one love to the committee, you know, they really do think of some good shit to talk about, right? And I don't really read my Narcotics Anonymous literature with a dictionary handy, you know? And today I was up in my room and I was messing around, just throwing some ideas around and reading some literature, and I was like, I'm going to use some definitions in my share, you know? And I just kind of started breaking things down and like really trying to understand like the meaning behind the topic itself, right? In order to really understand where the message is going to come from based on that meaning. So it's weird, the generous, right? It's defined as more than necessary or expected, right? When I got into recovery, I didn't expect anything from anybody, you know, let alone compassion. I didn't know what I was up against. I knew that I was scared. Free, right? It means given voluntarily or spontaneously, right? So when you think about a generous application of compassion, to me that means something like slow, or I mean, you think about when you generously paint a fence, you know, you're going to make sure that it's done correctly and it's done adequately and purposefully, right? And free application of judgment, that if it's given spontaneously, that just kind of means that it's quick, you know, and it might not be very well thought out. Although it's crazy, you know, I continue to look up some things, right? Compassion is defined as sympathetic pity, which is kind of a harsh word, right? Or concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others, right? And look at this, some of the words that are synonymous with compassion are sympathy, empathy, selflessness, humility, and of course the good old anonymity, right? Which are all spiritual principles found in the steps and traditions of Narcotics Anonymous, right? Judgment, on the other hand, is an opinion or conclusion. That's all it said, right? There were several definitions on judgment, right? 5 years ago, if I'd have looked up judgment, I would have thought that I was some hot shit in the right. Because the first one that it said was ability to make considered decisions or come to sensible conclusions, right? In reference to that form of judgment, you can think about words like discernment, prudence, both spiritual principles, and of course, common sense, otherwise known as best judgment, right? I spent years and years thinking that I was practicing best judgment by disconnecting myself to everybody around me on the outside world and myself because of extreme judgment, you know, prejudice towards people, towards myself, just issues like that just really started to just eat away at me, you know. And this was not just when I was using, this was during periods of abstinence before I got into recovery. I never knew that there was another way to think about people or towards people or myself. So the opinion or conclusion, most of the time that's done voluntarily, because most of it contains an opinion, and nobody gives a shit about somebody's opinion when it's in reference to that form of judgment, right? And then spontaneously, because for the most part, you don't see it coming. That's why whenever it talks about it in the literature, when addicts feel like they're being judged, they have a tendency to react defensively or to isolate. Me personally, I don't, you know, you might hear me say it, I don't give a shit what you think. Newsflash, I give a shit what you think,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
Anybody that says they don't care what, quote unquote, you think, I guarantee you they care about it, right? And it fucks them up more than anybody could ever realize, which is why judgment is such a harsh, it's such a harsh way to deal with somebody, right? Compassion is just something that, oh, man, it's amazing. It's hard to describe when you think about someone that is compassionate, right? You think of it, just think about it like this, right? Compassion is a spiritual principle. Judgment is not. And that's where I believe the line should be drawn, you know, the practical versus spiritual, right? Even if I don't understand just how judgment can break somebody down, it does. So that's not something I really like to explore, right? I further tinkered around with some definitions and stuff. Each one of those, you know, as it pertains to compassion, right, in this, as it pertains to this topic, you know, the sympathy involved can translate to, I understand you. The empathy involved can translate to, I feel you because I've been there. The selflessness means I'm putting others before myself. The humility could say, I'm no better or worse than you. The anonymity could say, we are equal, right? All of those items together, practicing compassion, you get a message of, I care, I'm listening. If I'm not willing to listen to somebody, then I'm not willing to help them. And when I came into the rooms in 2014, if I felt like somebody wasn't listening to me, or that nobody cared about what I was going through, what I've been through, where I was, where I'm at, I would not have stayed, right? Because at that moment, getting high would have made me feel all of those things, even for just a moment. The judgment, on the other hand, once again, it's no fun, right? The self-righteousness involved, it can say, I'm certain, because self-righteousness is all about certainty that you are correct, that my way is the only way. The unwillingness could say, I'm reluctant or hesitant. The selfishness might say something like, I'm putting myself before you. The closed-mindedness, I am not or no longer receptive to your new ideas. And that could all translate to, you know, judgment saying something like, I don't hear you. And if I don't hear somebody, I can't learn anything from them. And whenever I can't listen to somebody and have a desire to learn from somebody and have a desire to help another addict, right, I don't share. Whenever I don't share, I become disconnected from the newcomer. I become disconnected from my home group or visiting other groups and trying to spread the message in any way that I can. I become disconnected from service work. I become disconnected from my higher power, and then I'm left with shit, right? At the end of the day, just a bunch of hot air. I should have written it down. The topic, I didn't know they were going to do this, man. Once again, one love to the committee. But on the little schedule, it said the topic, and then it said, like, where you can find some stuff about that in the book, you know? So, of course, I was like, oh, cool, Works How and Why, page 149, paragraph 2. And then, of course, I didn't have the book with me, so. I perused all this other kind of literature. And I think it was in recovery and relapse, it says, you know, that sharing with others keeps us from feeling isolated and alone, right? If I get to a place in my recovery where I'm practicing judgment, that's letting me know. My sponsor says that, you know, when you practice judgment, that's a good alarm clock for you to wake up, you know, and start practicing some compassion. We call them spiritual antidotes, right? There was, you know, at a point in our step work, we take all of the defects and instead we practice the, direct antonym of that, you know. So if you practice dishonesty, then you practice honesty, you know, or if you practice hate, then you practice love. You know, it's very simple when you think about it, but then when you start to really examine how meaningful and powerful each one of those antidotes are, it's so profound and just impactful, you know. But unfortunately, sometimes that can be hard to do, you know. So if I meet somebody and I judge them, the next time I see them, the defect of judgment is still going to be hanging around. I'm going to remember why I judged them, and I'm going to find something else to fucking throw on top of it, right? First meeting I ever went to, the first NA meeting I ever went to, it was cold, right? It was in January, and I was cold. It was cold outside. I had many layers on, you know. It was here in Texas, but I was cold, so I had I had it all on, and I was hot, I was cold, I was sweating, you know, but I was all bundled up in this room, and man, I looked like shit, I felt like shit. And I walked into that room and I immediately sized every single man and woman in, you know, there was just a circle of people around me, I didn't know any of them, but immediately I knew everything I needed to know before they even shared. And you know, I was the baddest sumbitch in the room, I was the best looking some bitch in the room, and I had the story that would fucking change the world. And unfortunately, it just was not like that, you know? Like I said, judgment of oneself can lead to problems, right? If there's other, you know, underlying defects, right, which I've yet to uncover, you know, I'm really grateful for the steps and for the connection that I have with my sponsor. Man, I'm so grateful for this man. We saw each other a year ago and did some step work, and I just realized that I'd kind of been kind of dawdling on a step that I've been kind of parked on, so I've been working on that this weekend. So I'd like to read just a little bit out of Living Clean. It's out of the connection to others. I'm just going to jump around for a second. It says, some days it seems really easy to identify with others, to feel welcomed and welcoming in a meeting. At other times, all we hear are the things that set us apart from the group. We start noticing the differences more than appreciating our similarities. It's usually a red flag indicating discomfort with ourselves. If I'm not comfortable with myself, most likely I'm not comfortable with you. And I will find a reason to tear you down, not to your face, of course, but through the, you know, the form of judgment. And then, you know, like it says, there's no similarities there, right? I'm not looking to be like you. I'm looking to be not like you at all. And in turn, not like you at all, right? It's a mask. It's a defense mechanism. It's something that I have a great history of doing. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I still do it. That's why I'm really glad that I was asked to do this topic, because, you know, it's something that I struggle with, right? I've practiced judgment longer than I've practiced compassion. You know, I've been clean far less time than I was using, unfortunately. So still my default is going to be the defect, because it's it's easier. Mm-hmm. It's quicker. You know, it requires less effort. Mm-hmm. When we focus on the personalities of others, we may gossip, bicker, or contribute to disunity. Mm-hmm. When we focus on our own personality, we quickly become self-centered and self-obsessed. Some nasty shit. When we focus on living the will of our higher power and carrying the message, our identities grow and flourish. You can focus on living in the will of your higher power and still get caught up judging some people sometimes, mm-hmm. right? So then what happens to your identity then? You know, is the flourishing of your identity an illusion, or is it just happening but only halfway? It says, when someone we don't know that well points out our generosity or loving kindness, we learn that people see goodness in us that perhaps we don't see in ourselves. Our fellows reflect on us back to ourselves and show us how we have changed. Practicing compassion helps us to stop comparing ourselves to others. We start seeing the deep connections and similarities between us. Our traditions teach us that we are all equal. There's that anonymity again. This does not mean we are the same. Our differences are striking and sometimes very entertaining. Many of us have shared that part of us, that part of what made us feel uncomfortable in our earliest meetings, is that there are so many different kinds of people in a single meeting sharing and appearing friendly with one another. This can contrast sharply with what we have experienced before, in or out of active addiction. And that's true, you know. You come into the rooms and see people practicing kindness and generosity and open compassion for the newcomer and the non-newcomer alike. And it can be very shocking when you come from a place that is so much different than that. I come from a place where I always think that I've done something wrong, right? Which causes me to apologize over and over and over again for shit that I have no business apologizing about, you know? My wife asks me all the time, why are you apologizing? You know, and I don't know, I've been working on that, right? But when you come from a place like that, or any of the places that we come from prior to getting clean, you know, when you come from those places and you get into a, when you get into a an environment that's just full of love and fellowship, there's so much care there, you know, and we're not used to being cared for like that from other people. And it can be shocking, you know. That first meeting, right, I was looking good in bad shape, right? And at the end of the meeting, I was just mobbed, you know, like one person wanted to give me a meeting list, and then there was a guy that wanted to step aside and talk, and like, I mean, there was one person at the meeting I didn't hug. It was weird, you know. But those are the things today that I'm proud to have the privilege to be able to do for the newcomer, because man, if somebody hadn't put that meeting schedule in my hand, if somebody hadn't written their name in my book, you know, called to see if I was gonna call, I don't know where I would be. So I'm really grateful to be here tonight. I'm not certain how long I've spoke, but you know, like I said, this program has changed so much in my life. My daughter is 8, right? And I've been noticing lately that she is just, we connect very well. We exercise together, we cook, we play, we watch TV, we do puzzles, you know, and it just seems like I was mentioning it to my wife. It just seems like in the last year, things have just changed in that respect. You know, like she's just really likes to be around me more, you know, and I was in a meeting, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I was sharing about it, and then I just kind of had a eureka moment where I realized that it really wasn't that different from the way that it has always been, but I now am becoming more receptive to opening myself up to that kind of love from her, right? And this is with time clean, you know, I've got a little bit of time clean, so I it surprised me, right? Because I was just like, well, shit, I thought this would have been a little further along right now. I was not clean when she was born, right? And I spent a long time judging myself for that. And I think that the feelings that came up as a result of that, I was able to practice compassion towards people that have shared the same story. And in turn, when my son was born, I was clean, right? I got to experience that clean. And, you know, my children are probably the biggest joy in my life. They really do. I mean, they help me wake up. They're amazing children. I'm grateful for my wife. She is one of my biggest champions in recovery. She's not an addict, but, you know, she knows that one of the first things to throw out when I'm, you know, she sees that I'm not right is take your ass to a meeting. So I'm grateful for that connection. It's because of Narcotics Anonymous that I can say things like, I have a connection with my family. I have a connection with my higher power. I have friends that aren't just trying to get high or that I'm just trying to get high from, you know. I don't owe anybody money today. I'm not trying to, you know, there's so many amazing things, you know, like I'm employed, right? I got laid off a few years ago and I stayed clean through that, you know. I didn't take the severance money that they gave me and go spend it on ridiculous shit that I didn't need, you know. Today I'm more focused on sustainability, you know, making sure that I do the work today so that, you know, tomorrow I can, you know, continue to do work. And I'm sorry, it seems like that's all we ever do is work. But with that said, I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming to this workshop and to this convention. Houston area, we thank you. And that's it. Thank you.
All right, let's give a round of applause for our speakers again. Thank you so much, Marvin. Thank you so much, Brian. All right, if you have a, you know, whatever these are. Thank you, sir. Please leave it on the seat. I need to pick those up. And let's circle up.
Brian, you said it was right.
I thought it turned
over. Oh, look at you. Dylan. All right, let's have a moment of silence followed by the third step prayer.
Take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, and show me how to live.
Yes, and Marvin, I promise you're going to listen. You're going to come back on this, and it ain't going to be that bad.
Yeah, man. When I tell my story, when I speak for freaking hours.
Give me a hug.
When I locked up, I mean, I totally locked up.
I mean, I couldn't even imagine doing what you did, so.
Hey, it's crazy.
Mom, you did good, Pop, okay?
I love you.
Do you like my makeup format?
Hey.
You winged it fabulously.
Listen, I like how people learn to
you know what? I'm a little cheer person. We didn't say serenity prayer at the beginning. Messed me up.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Noah, yeah. You see my cane? What did you look
at? I put it right here, Marvin. I stuck it up there for you. Right here.
Okay.
Mama, I'm going downstairs.
I'm going to get lost, dude.
You going to get lost?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Here's my Puerto Rican ass. All
right. You called me to get embarrassed and shame.
No, man. You did good, huh?
You did, man.
Hey, I'm blaming. Look, I'm sitting there.
I gotta hit this. Listen, I gotta hit this now tomorrow. 2 hours.
You know what happened now?
Why?
I didn't ask God anything. I used to do that when I speak, and then the chair person didn't even say surrender prayer again.
Oh, you see, I didn't have format. I was trying to break it through, man. I had no idea what the hell I was doing.
It threw me off, man.
Yeah.
Look, I can play judge for a lot of people. That's what
I'm saying. Listen, I was trying to
Yeah, how do you stop it? Oh, sorry.